This is Rain Classic Hamcast number 43, posted June 12, 2021 on the rainreport.com. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. This week we conclude our second excerpt from the February 2020 QSO Today podcast interview with Janice Carson, AB2RA, a licensed ham since 1959. She is known for her repair and restoration of older tube-type ham gear, which she documents on her wireless-girl.com website. Janice is a frequent contributor to Electric Radio magazine. As if this weren't enough, Janice Carson is also a politically active advocate for the U.S. Amateur Radio Service to the FCC in Washington. Her interviewer, Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, is the first to speak in this concluding excerpt from their conversation.
In your very extensive biography that you shared with me before this QSO that we're having, you said that you become the Aaron Brockovich of amateur radio. Can you describe Aaron Brockovich and how you've become her in advocacy for amateur radio?
Well, Aaron Brockovich had absolutely no legal training and became a paralegal basically through her own research, was a very vocal advocate for cleaning up chemical and environmental problems that had resulted from industries ignoring common sense rules. So drawing on that analogy, there had been a number of issues in FCC proceedings that, God, I had no desire to get involved with this, and I really wish it was over. I just want my life back. And it's been a 5 or 10 year fight for some of the people that I've been working, and it's taken a heavy toll on their personal lives and their families. We're facing attacks on the spectrum, and the ARRL has been pretty effective. For instance, the 3 gigahertz band. A lot of the microwave UHF and VHF bands, the mobile phone providers want that spectrum. France just recently had an initiative to take away 2 meters, which fortunately failed. The general public is mostly interested in mobile connectivity and 5G, not traditional radio. Most music distribution is done by streaming, not physical media like records or CDs, and kids don't grow up listening to a radio that they built from a kit or even something they bought in a store. They wouldn't probably want an HF transceiver when they can take the same money and buy themselves a nice mobile phone. So we're likely to face many more challenges on this end of the spectrum. One other thing is that changes are happening very rapidly for the fastest rate of change than any previous time in amateur radio history, and the changes are as fundamental as the transition from spark.
It's my understanding, and I've seen your website, which is quite interesting, wireless-girl.com. What kind of resources do you provide there, Janice, on your website?
Well, I never intended it for it to be a lobbying or FCC regulatory resource. Primarily, it's a resource for antenna projects, technical projects, old gear, wide variety of stuff. When I do a project, I try to document it and pass it along to people so they don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's exciting new opportunities that are coming about for people. DX Engineering, for instance, is offering an RF Kits linear amp, which has a Raspberry Pi controller. And it's a modern QSK linear amp with no relays in it. I would suspect they're going to give the new Elecraft KPA 1500 a run for their money. If I build one of those, I'll try to document the work so that somebody else won't have as much problems duplicating what I did. Things have changed a lot. Novice operators back in 1959, they built simple wire antennas. Why don't hams do that now? There's wonderful ARRL antenna handbooks, and yet people buy packaged antennas. It's a better thing to learn the stuff you studied. There are good stealth antenna projects. If people are living in a HOA-restricted environment, they can still do FT8 and have lower power and limited antennas. I try to provide that, as with the articles that I've written for Electric Radio on restoring older gear. take some pictures so people aren't just guessing at how to do stuff.
Well, I urge the listeners to actually look at your website. It's an amazing compendium. You've got thousands of hours of documentation and pictures and diagrams of the projects that you've done. Do you think you have a theory or an idea why new ham radio operators today are not rolling their own antennas, for example? Is there something about our culture in the 2020 now that makes home building even off-putting?
It may be, and it may be the way that we recruit people. People are more likely to study online. They don't have the personal contact, the so-called Elmer that I was lucky enough to have, and there's nearly a dozen of them that helped me back in the 1950s. Our club teaches licensing exams, and rather than doing a one-day crash course for technicians, it's done very hands-on. In the past, when I've taught those classes, we have tried to provide an Elmer who would help the person select an appropriate radio and not get the wrong equipment for the job or a piece of broken used equipment and help them get their first antenna up. And that just isn't happening for some reason. And I think people these days, when they go to buy something, they don't go into a brick-and-mortar store. They look for it online. Unfortunately, that's one of the reasons why amateur radio seems to be not as attractive to people, because they just didn't grow up around radio. When I was a kid, my father had a huge four-model radio sitting in the living room that he bought shortly after he came out of the service after World War II, and it had shortwave bands on it. And you could hook a piece of wire to it and listen to the BBC. Cheap, disposable $5 radios are barely able to receive normal AM broadcasts above the din of these switch mode power supplies and the wall warts that are all over the house charging your cell phone. It's just a different world.
You're in the middle of a 2020 QSO Today interview of Janice Carson, AB2RA, restorer of older tube ham gear, writer for Electric Radio Magazine, and political advocate for the U.S. Amateur Radio Service to the FCC. We'll conclude Eric Guth, 4Z1UG's 2020 interview with Janice in a moment. This is the Rain Classic Hamcast number 43 for June 12th, 2021. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
I'm thinking about the hours I would spend in Sandy's Electronics in Canoga Park, California in the 60s. Sitting on the floor looking at all the bins of parts and the smell of the electronics. For a young kid, it was great fuel for the imagination. And I think that's kind of hard to do that these days. I see that most of my neighbors don't own tools. If they have a screwdriver or an assortment of screwdrivers, that's a rare thing. It's a different time, I think.
Well, even in Ithaca, New York, as a kid, two blocks away from where I lived, there was a place called United Sales, which was a fairly large store, about the size of a small drugstore, which was just jammed full of World War II surplus stuff. And any time I needed a knob or a transformer or something, I could walk over there and buy it for cents on a dollar. It was great. There was Radio Shack, which doesn't exist anymore. You could do small orders to Lafayette Radio, Ally, Olson Electronics. There were dozens of stores and World Radio Labs. Everybody was offering kitted transmitters, Night Kit, Heath Kit, ICO. Now you're hard-pressed to find such a thing. Although Bob Heil has tried to make such a thing accessible with his Pine Board project. And I'd highly recommend it to somebody that's interested in learning how state technology, give that project a try.
What excites you the most about what's happening in amateur radio now?
Well, I think the digital revolution. FT8, narrowband digital modes, learning about new technology, new solid state gear, and some of the new digitally based equipment Obviously, the average ham couldn't build an Inovonics 223 digital compressor modulation limiter for their ham station, but it's much cheaper than, say, the Orban Optimod, which is $5,000 to $8,000. It's what W1AW uses in their AM station. But for $500, the Inovonics is a good value, and it prevents splatter.
Should we think of the amateur radio service as a national park for nerds?
Yes. People ask amateur radio, what is the justification to give you this valuable spectrum? There is one single statement in 97.1 that says it's for emergency communications, and I fully support that, having been active as a kid in the national traffic system. I got a lot of enjoyment and training and built my code speed through that and improved my operating procedure, and it's good to have a pool of people that are proficient at such things. However, free email for unlicensed people and yachts is not mentioned there. That's not emergency communication. And there are three or four other clauses that deal with the technical aspects and the self-training. This has a benefit. Now, unlike a national park, and I'm not slamming rock climbers here, but occasionally people get involved in climbing El Capitan and have to be rescued. Fortunately, amateurs don't need to be rescued from anyone other than themselves and their own foolishness once in a while, and it's no big cost. The benefit in terms of hopefully young people pursuing a career in technology. We had a group of 30 people come through our volunteer examiner session. They were all young Cornell engineers. My husband and I are volunteer examiners. A lot of them were just interested in controlling a robotics experiment. I have a friend that doesn't own a radio for any other purpose than controlling his model aircraft. That's his interest. He isn't hurting anybody with it. He shares the spectrum properly, observes the rules, and follows Part 97. And it's a great opportunity to investigate servo mechanisms and learn technology that perhaps they might not have had otherwise.
What advice would you give to new or returning hams to the hobby?
Get your hands greasy under the hood. Heathkit isn't around anymore. Back then you could repair your radio when it broke. Give AM a try. Most of the people in AM are willing Elmers, and if you show up, they will help you adjust your solid-state radio to sound properly. IC7300s is one of the better AM-capable transceivers. Of course, the Bob Heil Pine Board Project, if you want to build a big rig, Class E radio provides parts and directions. But by all means, don't be afraid to get a project and work on it, adding an N3ZI VFO kit to a vintage radio will improve your stability, and there have been articles on how to integrate that into a radio. Of course, the computing power in a Raspberry Pi rivals what was a desktop computer just a decade ago. And frankly, it's one of the breakthroughs that has happened with decoding Winlink transmissions. That technology wasn't available when Pactor 2 and 3 first came out, and now it's available. Possibly there's an open source and Raspberry Pi solution that awaits development for even better modes of digital communication.
Right, and it's a $35 computer at that, so it's not out of range of most hams, I think.
It was cheaper for these people rather than designing a custom bedded in controller for an RF kit amplifier to tell you, just go buy a Raspberry Pi and install that in the box.
You can go to places like DigiKey now and you can buy DigiKey Arrow, you can buy Mouser, you can buy the Raspberry Pi as a commodity. You can buy hundreds if you want.
Yeah, and unfortunately this FCC activity is consumed the last 5 years of my available time, and I'm really looking forward to get back on the workbench.
And that concludes our second and final excerpt from a QSO Today podcast conversation with Janice Carson, AB2RA, ham radio restorer, writer for Electric Radio Magazine, and politically active advocate for the U.S. Amateur Radio Service to the FCC in Washington. She documents her work on wireless-girl.com. That's Whiskey, India, Romeo, Echo, Lima, Echo, Sierra, Sierra, Dash, Golf, India, Romeo, Lima, .com. Audio courtesy of QSO Today. Should you want to hear Eric's complete hour-long interview with Janice, you'll find it as episode 290 on QSOtoday.com. The Rain Classic Hamcast is produced by its founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP. It's copyright 1985-2021, Rain. All rights reserved. Rain programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. Rain Classic Hamcast number 44 will post June 26, 2021 on therainreport.com. Very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Don't forget to keep on hamming.